Let's go. I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic. And you can tell my girls are here. I love the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I came here 3 years ago, and I've stayed ever since. And I started out drinking occasionally at the age of 16, and gradually moved on to other things besides alcohol. And my disease progressed into desperation at the age of 34. It got worse throughout the time. After I dropped out of high school at the age of 18, I still had 2 years left, and wound up pregnant with my first son, and stopped drinking. After my son was born, I continued to start drinking on a day-to-day basis. My alcoholism drug me to the point of insanity where I was abusing my children. My son was thrown against the wall at the age of a year and a half. My alcoholism was really bad, and I couldn't see that. I wound up staying at the hospital for 4 nights, crying to God, my higher power, that I would stop drinking and using, and I prayed and I prayed, and I had quit using for 3 years, my daughter was born, and then I slowly started going into depression, and started drinking more. It was sociable at first, and then it became a closet issue because my children were trying to pick up after me. So I would start drinking behind doors, and it got so bad that I switched from drinking to using drugs. I got pregnant with my last daughter, and I had only drank maybe once or twice out of the month, but my drug addiction had changed for the worse. I was using crack cocaine throughout my entire pregnancy. It was hard for me to come to grips with the insanity of the disease of alcoholism and addiction. And I almost gave my children up to a perfect stranger. I was hearing things, seeing things, and I didn't understand that I had an addiction, and it had to do with alcoholism and drugs. And I just wanted to die. I thought it was within me. Wound up getting recovery for the first time in San Luis Obispo, and went to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous at the Alano Club in San Luis Obispo and started my recovery there. There I detoxed in a homeless shelter with all three of my children, and my daughter being an addict herself at the age of 5 months, she was going through withdrawals, and still she would cry in the middle of the night, and I would be hard into my sleep, and I wouldn't hear anything from her. So I had three run-ins with the police department in San Luis Obispo while I was living at that shelter. And they couldn't find anything on me, you know. They couldn't find the fact that I was neglecting my children. They just continued to tell me to keep getting, you know, help, and I kept telling them, I am getting help. I'm going to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, and at that time, that was the very first time I'd ever had any encounter with alcoholism in the rooms of AA, and the Alano Club saved my ass. I was so grateful to be going there every morning with all three of my children, and I slowly began to understand about the rooms. And at that point in time, there was a gentleman there that tried to help me in my recovery, and he tried to be my sponsor. And we all know that, you know, we respect the men. Very dearly we do, but you don't get a sponsor to the men. Just don't do it. The man bought me a bicycle, told me, you know, you could take your kids around on your bike, and, you know, and took me to my first concert, and started patting me on the ass, and I'm like, this is not the way the program's supposed to be, is it? You know, in total desperation, I'm trying to get help, and the man is trying to get into my pants, you know, and, you know, I had brought it to the rooms about Alcoholics Anonymous, their attention, that this gentleman was trying to do what he was doing, and they suggested that I hurry and get a women sponsor, so I did. Started to hang around with the women in the program, and I had her for a year and a half, and she relapsed on barbiturates, on pills, on painkillers, and I never started to do the program. I never really got into it. You know, I read the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It was my Bible. I'd rather read the alcoholic's physician to, you know, recovery than a Bible. And the woman that saved my life was a woman named Jan Stone. She was an ex-heroin addict, and she was an alcoholic. She ran Central Valley Recovery Service, not Central Valley Recovery Services, Central Coast Health Care Network, and she was my guide. She kept insisting that I give my children to respite care so that I can get some deeper help for my alcoholism and my addiction. And I didn't want to listen to her. I thought I could manage three little children, you know, all on my own. And I'm so hard-headed and so stubborn. I had 15 days clean and sober, and I decided I needed a break from my kids. So I had asked a fellow person that was in the shelter with me if she would watch my children for me. She abandoned them at the Alano Club. And I had to accept full responsibility of my actions. That day I tried to take a break. I wound up at Pirate's Cove. And I had been relaxing in the sun, and I had this eerie feeling in my gut there was something wrong. And we left the beach and went up the hill and went down the hill to Avila and started roaming the pier. And there was police officers scattered all over the place. They were looking for me. I just had it in my gut. And 30 minutes later, we left there and went to the Alano Club to go pick up my children, and they were no longer there. You know, they told me that I needed to go back to the shelter, and there were some officers there waiting for me. They wanted to arrest me for child abandonment, child neglect, and they couldn't because of the simple fact my children were taken care of. They had everything that they needed, from a bottle to money in her pocket to food in their baskets and clothes on their back. They had everything. And I cried and I relapsed. It was a hard thing for me to accept that my children were gone, and I had the opportunity, but I gave it away. And I started seeking help, and the CWS, they'd put me on a drug patch to test my levels to make sure they were lowering, and I wanted an inpatient program because I knew that I was going to find drugs at no cost. Alcohol was just a step away. It was, I started going to parenting meetings, and being homeless at the heart of it all was very hard because you had to be in at a certain time, and you couldn't drink and you couldn't use drugs, and I wanted to do that, and I couldn't do it anymore, so I wanted to get clean and sober for my kids, so I would try to get them back, and I went to an inpatient program, and I graduated with high honors. I got my two oldest children back, and I graduated the program, and they suggested that I keep coming back in order to get my other child, and she was on the brink of adoption, and I wanted to use and drink all over again. My first year in sobriety, my daughter got really ill, and I was secretary of a meeting there in San Luis, just down the street from my house, and my daughter wound up with a parasite, and I almost relapsed. I came really close, you know. If it wasn't for the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I would have. They were there for me through and through. You know, when they suggest to keep coming back and use those support numbers, I use them. You know, I may not have been, you know, working in an honest program of recovery, but I had it in my heart that I wanted it really bad, you know, at least for my children's sake. But when I saw my daughter lethargic on the floor, losing her weight, only being a year and a half old, and I couldn't do nothing for her because I didn't have the tools to be a mother, I wanted to drink, you know, and I was doing the dry run. The old foster mother came and picked her up and took her to Templeton Hospital and started to... They tried to find a vein for her, and they poked that little child all over the body. She cried and she cried. She had three bags of fluids pumped into her, and all the lady could tell me was that she was angry with me for not keeping an eye on my daughter. And I felt so guilty and shameful of it that I held the resentment against her. And I had my second year birthday, and everything was wonderful. You know, I was on that pink cloud, like everybody said, and, you know, I was dealing with my depression, and I was on mental health depression drugs, and, the weird thing about it was I don't remember the days. All I remember was laying in my bed, you know. I was an anti-socialist. I wasn't able to get out and about, but I was clean and sober for the first time for 2 years. And I don't remember getting my children off to school. It just left me in a daze. But I was grateful that I was being a secretary and having a commitment through the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And at 2 years and 5 months, I relapsed on alcohol. It was New Year's, and somebody had told me that I couldn't do something. I couldn't go out to the bars. I couldn't go drink. And I had 2 years and 5 months clean and sober. And what gave this man the right to tell me what I can and cannot do, I allowed him to have a, you know, that right to tell me. And I ignored him, you know, and I got drunk. And it was on like Donkey Kong. I started drinking and using for 7 more years. And until desperation where I had almost killed myself out there this last time around. And I swore to myself that I would never be homeless again with my children. I've been homeless 9 times with my children. It was hard for me to accept my alcoholism until this last time around. I remember days and nights and certain things now because it makes me so proud that that I'm a recovering alcoholic and an addict. And I no longer have to have mental health drugs to keep me sane today. As long as I don't pick up and drink and I don't pick up and use, I don't carry a diagnosis of bipolar, manic, depressive, suicidal tendencies with post-traumatic stress disorder. And I'm so grateful today. You know? I'm so grateful today. The insanity of mental illness is just, it's crazy. You know? It's crazy. And I have to give it to this program. Because if it wasn't for everybody, all these people being on this wall, I wouldn't be here today. If it wasn't for these ladies in recovery, I wouldn't be here today. When I first got into this program again for the second time, I knew I was done. My kids had been in a foster home for 6 months, and I was still out there homeless and drinking. My last drink, I remember the time and the date. It was May the 15th at 1:58 a.m. That was my last drink, and I will never forget that because I remember how ill I was when I came into this program because I wanted to die. The disease took me to the point of insanity that I will never look back and say that I was proud of it. Because I'm not. It was an insane part of my life that I will never forget. It disgusts me to think that the disease of alcoholism and addiction has gotten a hold of my life and my children's life and everybody that was around me at the time of my life. And I had a week sober and clean when I got in here and I found my sponsor. Most of you know her. She's the barroom alcoholic. And I'm so proud today that she is my sponsor. And I work a program of recovery and I've worked those steps. I work them on a daily basis. And I'm humble today because of my addiction. And my recovery has made me the woman that I am today. If it wasn't for this program being here, this Lano Club, I would not have been able to get clean and sober at all. I would still be out there or I would be dead. Every time my sponsor would come to the house, I would hear her car door shut and I'd be off and running. I'd be running to her like a spun chihuahua, she told me. I was her spun chihuahua. And I respectfully said, why are you calling me that? She says, because every time I came, you were out that door before I even got across the driveway. You were running to beat the other sponsor that she had at the time. There was two of us. There was one at New Visions and one at me. It was one of me. But I swore there was multiples of me because I couldn't stay still for nothing. I was off and running during the day. You know, I was up and ready by 5 o'clock. You know, where they give you that time in the morning to get ready, get dressed, and go for your walk, I was stressed. I was stressed and on the go. I was ready. I could have handled everybody's chores. Yeah. That's how fun I was. You know? And I had to sign in and out while I was doing yard hours. You know? That's how awesome this program is. It helps you be accountable for your actions. What you do on a day-to-day basis. From 1 minute to the next minute. And when I first got here, I saw David Looper. And I wanted what he had. Those days. Katie Sober, that Bible that he carries around, that Bible of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's what I wanted. You know, a lot of you people have had a huge impression on my life, and you'll know, because I'll tell you one day. I'll tell you what you've done to me. You've helped me change my ways. You've helped me to be grateful for what I have today. And that's another minute clean and sober. You know, I'm not going to say that I run a perfect program of recovery. By all means, we don't. And I don't. But I try really hard. I try extremely hard to watch my P's and my Q's through this program, because I know that there are so many eyes upon me. You know, this is a social model program. On the outskirts of the program that I work for, and whenever we go into the midst of this community, people see us. You know, they look at us sometimes in shameful eyes. How could you dare be an alcoholic? How could you dare be an addict? You know, it's not like we requested that when we were born. You know, so if I had to live my life over, I would do it all the same. I have no regrets. Because if I had changed anything in my life, I wouldn't be the person I am today. May God bless you. You're welcome. You know, there were several times I had gotten in trouble when I was in the recovery home. And I was on house realignment and restriction just like everybody else. And one of those times when I was in trouble, there was a young lady there in detox at New Visions that changed my life. She helped. She listened to me. She heard my story. And she was supposed to be here tonight. And I give her a lot of props for what she's doing. She's still staying clean and sober. And it gives me goosebumps all over to know that I played a part in her life and she's still clean and sober today. It's amazing. It's amazing. You know, when I look across everybody's face and I can point you out at one point in time a meeting that I have come across and you have changed something in me. You know? The strength that I carry today is due to this room. I have five sponsees today and they are all over me. Oh my gosh. There isn't a moment that doesn't go by and they want me, you know? And they exhaust me. They wear me out. I thought my sponsor, I've done that to her. But Lord have mercy upon me. You know, I'm trying to teach these girls a program of recovery and help them to understand the 12 steps and 12 traditions, and they're not getting it. You know, life on life's terms is difficult. Yes, I can accept that today. And I'm so grateful that every time I turn around, I meet somebody new in this program. And you make a difference in my life. And I'm ever so grateful. You know, if anybody's grateful, I'm grateful. I'm on call 24/7 in my program, you know? I don't hang up that phone at all. I rarely don't have it with me, like right now, because I didn't want the distraction, you know? And when I had seen all my girls from CVRS show up tonight, I didn't know what I had gotten myself into tonight. I was thinking, gosh, you guys aren't normally here. Aren't you guys over at the other place? You know, at the ice house? And they're like, yeah, but they moved it to here tonight. And I'm like, what? So I talked to Bill, and Bill had brought it to my attention that, yes, we normally are over there. And by the grace and mercy of God, they brought it here. And I would have never shared at the ice house. It's just too big. That's just too big. way too big for me. I could deal with the alumni at the senior citizens, but the ICE house, I've seen those meetings in the recovery that goes on over there, and that's some mean stuff. I love it. But for me to be sharing my experience, strength, and hope with you people today, it just, I have a warm, fuzzy part in my stomach because this is my home. You know, AA is my home. And to come in here and see my sponsor on that wall makes me so proud that she is my sponsor today. I don't have my name on this wall. It's not that I don't have any reservations. It's that I have this high hope, this hope and this strength that I'll just keep coming back and eventually get out there one of these days. You know, and it probably won't be by me. You know, it'll be probably one of my sponsees, knowing them. You know, that puts it up there. You know, and I'm grateful, you know, because I made a difference in their life. And, yesterday was a very trying day for me. You know, two people that I care about were going through some ordeals, and it devastated me to see things happen in their life the way they do. And I try beyond the ability of me to make things work out. You know, we want things so bad in our life to go right. And in desperation, sometimes they don't. Like a close friend of ours just died. And I can't bear to lose another alcoholic or an addict in this room. It devastates me. Because we need this recovery. But to die clean and sober is a great honor. And that's what I want in my life. I want to die clean and sober. I don't have... Everybody has a run, one more run in them. But do we have another recovery? I don't think I do. Because the brink of insanity will drive me mad. I will lose everything all over again. And it goes by even faster. So, today has been a hopeful day. My house is clean. And if anybody knows me, and especially my sponsees, how devastatingly a tornado would run through my house on occasion. It is the worst place in the world to be at my house. But who shows up all the time? Everybody. You gotta go to Carrie C's house. But, it got clean today by the grace and mercy of God. Thank you so much that it got clean. I wash dishes. I don't wash dishes. I don't wash laundry. I don't do anything like that. You know, I'm constantly running for the program. You know, I'm running to save some other alcoholic or addict from desperation. Because that's what, how my addiction and my alcoholism took me. It took me on a great big run. And it was real hard for me to get here. So I do that in my recovery. I apply myself just like I did when I was out there. You know, full force. And when anybody calls me, I'm there. You know, and today I had to say, no, I can't. I gotta do this for myself. You know, very seldom do I say, no, I can't. You know, I'm always saying yes. And, I'm grateful today. And, yeah. Does anybody have any questions? Anybody? What's the ninth tradition? What's the ninth tradition? Oh, I like the 11th tradition. missing. I'm terrible with memories. That would have been a good one, though. You got me.
How about this? Some people talk about how the going through the 12 steps opens our eyes to the things that we didn't see before. Do you have an example of how maybe going through the steps has made you aware of a truth that you just didn't see before?
Yes. Honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. That's how this program works. And it says it in the first step, you know, being powerless over our alcoholism, and our life has become unmanageable. And how working these steps has changed my life. And I would definitely say it's opened my mind to suggestions. I've become willing to go to any lengths to getting my recovery, and to be honest at all costs, whether it hurts myself or it hurts others. And I believe that's how the 12 steps have helped me. Anybody else? Yes.
How's your children doing?
Oh my goodness. I have custody of two of them, and I'm still striving to get my third one back. She is the one that was the DEI that was crack addicted, and I get her every other weekend. You know, I'm grateful for that, and it still devastates me to let her go. But I still get her every other weekend. Anything else? Anybody? Oh, because I cleaned my house. I'm sorry. These girls in the program at Mothering Heights, they give me my food. They give me food on, like, every other day. And my refrigerator gets so stocked with their leftovers that I never have time to cook because I'm always eating their leftovers. So finally I cook dinner tonight. And I clean house. And I was productive in my recovery today for me and my family. So that's a very big first for me, you know? And I'm so busy. I'm never at home. I know you do. I love you too, girls.
I'm finding strength to be the first time I want to do this without having anything for sharing for such a long time. And I remember hoping that I could get away from hearing it all because you know how that is. But now I'm doing it so lucky and here I am for you again. So I mean, I don't know. And I also had to say though to somebody today because my to keep something for myself, I can graduate.
Yeah, I'm still proud of him, and I took a lot of hurtful words from him, but you know what? I don't know what I did without him. Thought about it. That's right. Anybody else?
I know before the meeting started, we were talking about some of the things that you do to help others in the program. And we call that service work. Can you tell us a little bit about what service work you do and how does that affect, you know, your life?
I volunteer for a company. It's a recovery home, and it's Central Valley Recovery Services. And my main volunteer work is at Mothering Heights, and I drive the ladies to meetings, and I help them with their, to get the babysitters on Fridays, and I do one-on-ones, and I do notes. All right. I've never been to, oh, have I? Yeah, I'm taking you to court, to Porterville. Yes, it is. Yes, I do. I get to do those things today, yes. And I think I'm my sponsees from New Visions and New Heights. When I first started in this program, after I completed it, I got cleared to become a driver for all the programs. That would be New Heights, I was babysitting for them. New Hope, I was volunteering on every Friday night overnight. Mothering Heights, I'm on call 24/7. And whenever they need somebody to pick them up or take them to the hospital, I'm there. Although they live right around the corner from there. I still love them no matter what. I don't know. I'm ever so grateful today, you know, to be able to come back. I completed the car class last year, graduated with a B, and I'm still becoming more involved in the community and trying to give it back, you know, because I was given so much. And a huge part of my recovery, I see somebody sponsor here tonight, and Leffy made a huge impact spiritually in my life that I will never forget. She helped me to realize that don't get involved with men and don't play around with fire. The men in a recovery are just as sick as you are, and I love her so much for that. You know, I love her. It's a respect. Thing, you know what I mean? And I like that. It's made me into a dignified woman today. And if it wasn't for her encouraging words, I wouldn't have been here. Yeah, David.
How long do you think you were sober in here and you
knew
drug
dealing? When did God enter in my life? From my heart.
You got so much
time. I've always had him in my heart. Ever since I was baptized at 14. And I grew up, I was born here in Visalia. I was raised here. I went to, at the time it was Visalia First Baptist Church. But now it's Gateway. And I don't go there anymore. You know, and now I go to Warehouse. It's an off branch of Crossroads, and I'm there, and I've got myself involved with the homeless, because that's where I don't want to be again today. You know, every aspect of my life I apply in it the same way as if I was homeless. You know, I'm not anymore, so now I get to go and interact with the people who are homeless. You know, I'm not saying I'm bringing home all the homeless or anything, but you know, there's a big part of my heart that God has put on there that, you know, just to befriend them and know that they're, you know, they're loved. And I can accept that as God in my life.
The reason I asked if I've seen him around here in the book, I know in 2 weeks, your complexion, your eyes, everything about you has changed. 2 weeks, but I know that in my heart and soul.
Thank you, David.
Right.
That's right. I love it.
I just want to ask you one more thing. Can you tell us how other people are needed to be of service to some of the people you serve? Do we need more drivers? Do we need more people to take meetings over to the homes? What can people do to help?
What can they do? Sponsor. We need more sponsors out there. I don't, you know, if you've already passed your third step, you know, go out there and sponsor somebody, because it's a heavy load that I'm carrying myself. Taking on five, you know, these are five active women. I have one in jail right now. And I have two out there still. So we need more sponsors really bad. You know, just a little bit of time out of your day, an hour and a half at the most a week, you know, to give back to the ladies that really desperately need some help. You know, going to the recovery homes and sharing your experience, drinking a halt on Monday, Tuesday night, you know, at the New Visions meeting. you know, we need more women to show up there, you know, because we need to see that besides here and the ladies come here and share their experience, strength, and hope, we need to hear it in there, too. And that's my home meeting, you know, is New Vision. So that's what we can do. Thank you.
Thank you.